Ram Van Giveaway. Hear that? That's opportunity honking. No purchase necessary. For official rules and eligibility details, visit ferguson.com/Ram Van Giveaway.
Coming up, as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour on the Gym Class on KGYM, opening day in Major League Baseball. We'll give you the latest and talk about that. Sweet 16 coming up tonight. We'll have it for you at 6 o'clock on all three frequencies right here on KGYM. And plenty to get to on the show. It's all coming up next, presented by Third Base Brewery right here on KGYM. And a recap of Bowling Night in America from Wednesday evening. Welcome in to the Gym Class here on opening day, Thursday, the 28th of March. Yeah, a little early for opening day, but opening day nonetheless. Coming your way on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym and the South Gym. 106.3 FM as we have Twins baseball currently airing on 107.5, the North Gym right now. Twins getting ready to get the first pitch going as they take on Corey Kluber and the Cleveland Indians coming up today. And again, that's coming your way on 107.5 FM. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes with you. Kyle Mann, our producer here today. Basketball tonight, baseball today. It's truly one of the they've made it into one of the more special days, I believe. We're a week earlier this year, Mark, as far as the beginning of Major League Baseball. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
And as I would say, I had one eye or one ear or whatever on the Sox, but they are in a rain delay in Kansas City right now. Twins about ready to get underway at Target Field. Great to hear friend of the show's Tommy Watkins be introduced. Before the game.
First base coach for the Twins.
Former manager of the Cedar Rapids Colonels. Great to see that and hear that. So that was pretty cool. And Twins getting ready to take on Cleveland. Well, to get you updated on what's happening in the world of Major League Baseball as nine games are about ready to get underway. Kevin Lehman's going to join us to talk some college basketball as well. And Sweet 16, night one, coming up tonight for you. Complete coverage coming your way at 6 o'clock right here on KGYM Radio, and Dave Koken will join us as well. We're going to interrupt Dave's day of watching baseball to talk baseball with him today and talk with him about UNLV's new basketball coach, T.J. Otzelberger, former Iowa State assistant, former South Dakota State coach, who is now going to take over the reins of the once proud Nevada Las Vegas basketball program.
Yeah, Dave has already tweeted and blogged that he's a big fan of opening day. He's got three plays on baseball today, three plays on the NCAA basketball tournament. We'll ask him about that. Speaking of baseball, one final in the book, Scott.
Uh-oh.
The New York Mets behind Jacob DeGrom outdueled Washington and Max Scherzer 2-0. That game in the books. The Yankees, bottom of the eighth, leading Baltimore 7-2. No surprise. Top of the seventh, Milwaukee on top of the St. Louis Cardinals, 5-3. End of the third, Atlanta and Philly tied up at one. Delayed, the White Sox and Royals in Toronto and Detroit.
How is Toronto and Detroit delayed?
That I don't know. I'm just looking at the scoreboard.
Don't they play
delayed.
In a dome? Just saying.
That's a good question.
Okay. Continue.
I'll try to get the answer to that.
But or no, is it a retractable roof?
Several other games getting underway, and we'll keep you up to date.
Need answers to these questions. Need answers to these pertinent questions. Nine games about ready to get underway, including the Twins, the Cubs, and as we mentioned, the White Sox would have been, but they are delayed. Also, Arizona Dodgers, Angels, A's, Giants, Padres, Rockies, Marlins, Reds and the Pirates. Remember when the Reds used to play the traditional opening day game?
I do.
Give it a Google, kids. Yes, the Cincinnati Reds always had, well, Rick Swann knows, he was there a few times for some of those games. They always had the traditional opener at a Riverfront or Crosley Field or whatever, but hasn't been that way for a few years. Of course, the A's and the Mariners got things started in Japan about a week ago, but this is the true opening day. As far as Major League Baseball,
all 30 teams in action.
All 30 teams in action here today. We'll keep you updated on what's happening as far as baseball is concerned right here on KGYM. Dave Kokin joins us. Kevin Lehman will join us coming up as well. Just to kind of talk a little bit, let's start with baseball because it is opening day. And a lot of news out of Philadelphia, cutting in for Bryce Harper's first at-bat. Made the greatest grounder to the first baseman you've ever seen. How much did he make for that grounder to first base, Mark? You know this.
He's making like $98,000. Is it per game? Does that make sense?
You said something obscene like that. Yeah. Yes. Something like that. And so per at-bat then, if you divide it by at least, what, 4.1-ish? Thereabouts. So that's about a $23,000 ground out to first base.
Yeah.
Did not get booed, but you know ultimately it's coming from the Philadelphia fans as far as that is concerned.
Apparently, according to Detroit beat writers, the delay in the Tigers-Blue Jays game is caused solely by efforts to get a massive flag folded back the way it came.
Huh.
Had a massive flag on the field for the national anthem.
Sure.
It's 43 degrees in Toronto, and I don't know about the roof situation, but apparently they're having flag problems in Toronto.
All right. Are they playing an exhibition stadium again? White Sox played an opener.
Keep the questions to a minimum.
The White Sox played an opener, the first opener ever at Toronto in 1977 for the Blue Jays when they were an exhibition at Exhibition Stadium as a new franchise. Inaugural season, inaugural game. And it was something like 10 degrees wind chill or something like that. And the Sox just got throttled that day because I don't think they wanted to be there. But it was a hearty group of Canadians that were there that day. Is it still called Rogers Center?
Scott, stop with the questions.
Whatever that thing is in Toronto, apparently they've got a delay going there right now. 319-366-1600, your memories of opening day, as we are presented again today by Third Base Brewery, located at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue, Northeast in Cedar Rapids. Locally owned and operated, a place where families meet up again and again for a quick lunch. Grab a bite after work, bring the family for an affordable or delicious meal, or just stop on by and enjoy opening day. Tell them Scott, Mark, Kyle, everybody at KGYM sent you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, local news. I don't know if you've heard. I know you have, Scott. But Mike Manderscheid, the Marion boys basketball coach, has stepped down. Took Marion to the last two state tournaments and four in all. Just one of the really good guys
really
in the
profession. Too.
Always enjoy visiting with him. At the KGYM road trip in the fall, but he's stepping down.
Said he doesn't know what he wants to do next, but that a change is in order. And that was simply what he said, and Mike is a man of his word, and I take him for it. And now, pretty good basketball job open up over there. Also some news coming out of the high school front yesterday and today. Matt Koss, our friend from the Quad Cities Times, does a great job over there as the editor and basically the number one guy for covering high school athletics, reported that it looks like it is going to happen that Central DeWitt will be joining the Mississippi Athletic Conference coming up, not next year, but for the 2020-2021 athletic year.
It's a big step.
Big step for them. Saving a lot as far as travel is concerned, but moving up into basically a 4A league. As a 3A school.
It's a good sports program at Central DeWitt.
Very
overall.
Good. Very good. The WOMAC, they were in the Big Bend. They've been in the WOMAC. And it sounds like they are going to be leaving the WOMAC again, which would leave the WOMAC with 13 teams, which is a horrible number. So you can bet your bottom dollar that the WOMAC ADs and principals
shopping.
Are going to go shopping
mm-hmm.
to see who they can bring in for number 14. Because that's got to happen. 13 is just... That's a bad number.
Not manageable. No.
Many, it's not. Some people would say it's an unlucky number out there. 319-366-1600. And we have for you coming up later on the program today your chance to win a $30 gift card as well. That is courtesy of the Community Crisis Services and Food Bank. That's going to go to Hudson Southside Tap, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. So we'll have a chance for you to win that coming up a little bit later on in the program. We're going to take a break, come back, and Dave Kokin will join us. We'll probably make Dave mad. We're going to interrupt his viewing of opening day of the Major League season. Dave's a big baseball guy.
He is.
Huge baseball fan. So we'll talk with Dave, get his thoughts about the season, get his thoughts about the Sweet 16 getting started tonight as well, and the new coach for UNLV basketball. All that when we come back here on the Gym Class for a Thursday on KGYM.
In sports, as in life, the best rise to the top. That's how college brackets work. And it's how Third Base Brewery has curated their in-house brews for the past 20 years. Only the greatest survive. Maybe that's why friends come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in and watch the madness unfold at Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
Car companies love simplifying things with acronyms like SUV. So we took everything great about the Honda CR-V and condensed it into one easy acronym. TNUSNAWRBSUVBOTYCWBAMRCS. That stands for 2019 U.S. News & World Report Best SUV Brand of the Year, complete with Bluetooth and multi-angle rearview camera. Standard. The Honda CR-V. Available to test drive today.
Hurry into your local Central Midwest Honda dealer or go to CentralMidwestHondaDealers.com for more details.
U.S. News & World Report, November 2018.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There is a place that will pay you to learn. For real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Back with you in the Gym Class here on KGYM, 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. Hoping to get caught up with Dave Kokin, the handicapper from Las Vegas, coming up. Kevin Lehman's going to join us for sure. We'll have that coming up in about 10 minutes or so. It's opening day of the Major League Baseball season. There's no other season, Mark, that brings more optimism in sports than the opening day a baseball season. Am I accurate in saying that?
Unless you're an Orioles fan.
That could be. Even myself, as a Chicago White Sox fan, have a little bit of optimism. I'm not silly enough to think that the White Sox are going to win the division or anything like that. 500 would be good this year, mm-hmm. but at least a little optimism that the plan is starting to come together a little bit.
Yeah, I think you were always of the opinion that it would be maybe 2020. That might be the season for the White Sox.
2020. As Barbara Walters used to say. Sorry. Threw you off there, didn't I?
Yeah, doing a good job of it today, I'm telling you what.
I got questions. I got Barbara Walters impressions. Things like that out there. We got golf going on as well. At the Match Play Championship down in Austin, Texas.
We do indeed. I don't have that up, but you told me that Tiger Woods is in trouble.
NBC's a little bit nervous right now because Tiger is two down with two to go. And as all golf people know, Mark, that is called what?
Dormy.
That's dormy. Tiger's dormy right now to Brant Snedeker. And that would put Brant Snedeker in the round robin in this group. 1-0-1, Tiger would be 1-1-0, so Snedeker would be ahead of Tiger and would have the match. So Snedeker would have to lose tomorrow, and Tiger would have to win for Tiger to advance to the weekend. You have four-man groups. Round robin, best record advances to the final 16. That's the way it goes in match play, in this tournament anyway.
A couple players unbeaten so far. Francesco Molinari moved to 2-0 with a win over Olesen. Gary Woodland 2-0 now. Beat Emiliano Grillo today. Henrik Stenson is 2-0. Jim Furyk, who beat Phil Mickelson today, one up. He also is 2-0. Furyk playing some good golf.
He is playing some good golf. Said he was hurt last year and has got things together now. Good to see Furyk back and going.
That was the Hall of Fame bracket, by the way, Mickelson and Furyk.
Very much so. Very much so. Dave might be too comfortable in his chair. Might be too comfortable in his chair. So
I think we've got him.
We got Dave? We're interrupting Dave's opening day festivities here. But we're going to talk to Dave real quick here, get his thoughts about a couple of different subjects, and then Kevin Lehman is going to join us coming up here as well on opening day 2019. Dave Kogan set to join us right now, and you can give him a follow on Twitter, as I do, at Dave Kogan. SmokingKogan.com is the website. And happy opening day to you, Dave.
Yeah, it's here. Start of a nice long season of baseball. It's my favorite sport to watch as a fan. I love baseball, which I guess makes sense because I'm old, and then it's an old man's game. So, I don't care. I'm still going to like it for 162 games and be watching every day.
You still optimistic about your Red Sox? You should be.
Yeah, I think there's some questions. The bullpen is definitely a question mark, and in fact, I was just talking about this just now on another guest spot, which I'm an outside-the-box guy. And I think we'll see what happens early with the Red Sox bullpen. But if that becomes a question mark or a problem area, what I would do if I'm the manager or if I'm the organization is I'd take Eduardo Rodriguez out of the five spot. You don't really need a fifth starter in today's baseball. It's nice to have, but you don't really need it. And I would take Eduardo Rodriguez and put him in the bullpen as the late-inning specialist where he can go out there and give you two innings, the eighth and the ninth, and make him both the setup and closer guy. I think that, this is an outside-the-box time of thinking in Major League Baseball, and that's one thought as a look-ahead for the Red Sox if they have a bullpen issue.
I'm along those lines too, Dave, and I read your blog about folks that look at starting pitching when they want to wager on baseball, and you're more of the belief, I think, about bullpens being more important. Is that accurate?
Not more important, but you have to weigh them on a daily basis.
Okay,
it's just not the same game as it was 25 years ago. A starting pitchers they're done after five or six innings for the most part. You get a few guys like Verlander who are going to go out there and throw 110 pitches on a regular basis, or the superstars like DeGrom. You have to factor in bullpen on a daily basis. Nobody throws complete games. So if you're not handicapping the bullpen, you're only handicapping part of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. DeGrom, by the way, was just picked up where he left off last year.
he had a man on third and two outs. This is a one out in the sixth inning. So, and Soto's up for Washington. And, if he puts his bat on the ball, it's going to be a tie game at that point because it was 1-0. He threw him a 3-2 pitch that it looks like it's going to be middle of the plate, and then the thing just dived away from Soto. It had to move a foot in the last 10 feet. I mean, it was just it's not even fair. You can't hit stuff like that. And that was the big out. That was a big out of the game. And the Mets are a different team this year because as bad as they were in the bullpen last year, now they've got arguably the best closer in the game in Edwin Diaz. And it's a different Mets team now.
Yeah, they can throw Familia like they did out in the eighth inning today. So
yep.
That's I would agree with you as far as that is concerned. How long till Philadelphia fans start booing Bryce Harper?
The Philadelphia fans, they love to boo. That's their thing. But he's made for that ballpark. He really is. I mean, I can't see how Harper doesn't go 35 and 110 in that ballpark, assuming he stays on the field for 150 games. It's just made for him. And he's in a good lineup. He's got a good batting eye. He's very patient. So his OBP is going to be really good. I don't see how, you know, if they're going to boo him, it'll probably be more for his defense.
We want to get to the Sweet 16, but before we do that, Dave, T.J. Otzelberger, introduced as the UNLV coach today, former Iowa State assistant. Do you have thoughts on T.J.?
You know, I mean, he did well at South Dakota State. He's got a reputation as a very good recruiter. I didn't like the hire, and the reason I didn't like it has nothing to do with his coaching abilities. I know this city, and this had to be a buzz hire for the Rebels, and they didn't do it. They had to go after a name, and they didn't. Therefore, I think that it might be a good coaching hire, but it's not a good hire in a city where you've now got a very high-profile NHL team, which has taken over as the main attraction in the city. You've got an NFL team that's going to be arriving here shortly. The Raiders will be here by next season, or if the stadium's not ready, the year after that. The NBA isn't far behind. So UNLV is already running the risk of becoming irrelevant because they haven't been very good for several years. The old days are gone. And to me, they had to go out and get a name to make that phone ring for season ticket sales. And TJ isn't going to do it. That's no knock on his abilities as a coach, but if he's a who? Nobody knows who he is here. He coached at South Dakota State. And to me, they blew it on the hire. I don't care. They should have gone after Pitino. And the fact they didn't tells me that they don't know this. This is what happens when you bring in outsiders into a city that they don't understand, and they don't understand anything about what makes this city tick. And she may know her stuff as far as talent and ability goes, but she doesn't know Las Vegas, and I think this is a bad hire.
We'll see how it all plays out. Very good recruiter, though. He was always Fred Hoiberg's chief guy, getting talent to Iowa State. But like you said, it's
Vegas
not...
Ames isn't Vegas.
Ames is not Vegas.
No, and neither is the Mountain West at this point. I mean, here's how low-level the Mountain West is. The Mountain West bowl game, the Las Vegas Bowl, has always been the Mountain West bowl game. Whoever wins the conference is the host for that game. It's gone. The Las Vegas Bowl is staying, but now it's going to be the Pac-12 champion versus either a Big Ten or an SEC team each year. So the Las Vegas, what was the Las Vegas Bowl, which was the Mountain West Signature Bowl, is now going to be the LA Bowl, which nobody's going to go to in Los Angeles. And UNLV is in the Mountain West Conference. You can't tell me they're relevant in this city anymore. I know you guys are in Iowa, so what do you care about Las Vegas? But that's just the way it is out here.
Yeah. Well, games on the court tonight. I know one that you have talked about, wrote about as well, is Oregon and number one seeded Virginia coming up tonight.
Well, look, I mean, Oregon's a great story, but they're still a 12 seed, and I'll say, yeah, they were underseeded, not based on their performance, but in terms of where they were coming into the tournament. They were better than a 12 seed, obviously, but they're not a top 4 seed either. And Virginia is, and unless Pritchard has a huge game, and King has a huge game, and he might do it. He's a talented freshman. I just think Virginia's just too much for him on the defensive end, and they'll get rid of him eventually. I wouldn't be surprised if Oregon makes it a game for a while, but despite Dana Altman's expertise, I think Virginia wins this by double digits.
Anything else you like tonight, Dave, or tomorrow?
I think Purdue's got a real good chance to beat Tennessee, which gets too stagnant on offense. And you saw it in a game. I mean, that was absolutely awful on the part of Rick Barnes. And I know I've blasted him before, but that's why. I mean, you got a 25-point lead, 21 at the half, completely takes his foot off the pedal at halftime. The team gets sloppy, making turnovers all over the place. He basically let Iowa back in the basketball game and give the Hawkeyes full credit for taking advantage of that and playing a great second half. But that was as much to do with Barnes. And now he's facing a team that really wants to get through the Sweet 16. I think Purdue will hit him with a couple of spurts during the game and will win that matchup. I think Gonzaga's too much for Florida State. North Carolina, we've got the little illness, so we'll have to keep an eye on that because if he can't play, it changes everything for North Carolina. But if he's okay by tomorrow night, they should win that game. And what was the other one? Oh, looks like Washington's apparently now good to go for Kentucky, so that does change the dynamic against Houston. But I would stay out of that game, not knowing, you know, how sharp he's going to be off this layoff.
And as long as Barrett can get away with a push-off on a missed free throw, Duke will be fine, right?
We'll see. I mean, look, Central Florida was it was not the blueprint for how to beat Duke because most teams don't have a 7'6" guy to clog the middle. So the people have been saying, well, now you know how to beat Duke. That's kind of stupid. But Virginia Tech is going to try and clog the middle as much as they can and shut down the passing lanes and make Duke take as many threes as possible. And if you can do that, you can beat him because Duke doesn't shoot the three ball well. But I think Duke will find their way to some baskets on the inside of this one and will get through. I don't think it'll be easy, though.
Only good thing about pretty much chalk is that, boy, you got some great Sweet 16 matchups. Just unbelievable in the next two nights.
It's the best Sweet 16 since the field expanded. You have to go back to find a power rated Sweet 16 this high. You have to go back to when they took 25 teams back in the 70s. Because, you know, all the top seeds made it, except for Oregon, the only outsider, and they're not bad. So the power rating here is just through the roof.
Yeah, this is going to be fun. Going to be a lot of fun, certainly. And baseball will be fun, and we'll talk more about it next week and in the future. So we got 6 months to talk baseball with Dave. And Dave, we'll let you get back to the easy chair and watch your opening day games. How's that?
Sounds good, guys.
All right. Thank you. Dave Kokin. Give him a follow on Twitter at Dave Kokin and SmokinKokin.com. We'll take a break, come back, and as we go to a break, and it will give you an opportunity to pick up, courtesy of the folks at the Community Crisis Services and Food Bank. They're helping to support their community down in Johnson County. Feeding those in need is only one part of what the Community Crisis Services and Food Bank offers. They're formerly the Crisis Center. They are there to listen 7 days a week. New name, same volunteers standing by to help. And it's free, it's confidential, and secure support. Head to the iowacrisischat.org for more information. Courtesy of those good folks, we've got your chance to win a $30 gift card to Hudson Southside Tap in Iowa City, Highway 1 West in Iowa City. We're going to present that to caller number 6, 319-366-1600, 319-366-1600, caller number 6. You're going to pick that up. We'll come back, talk to Kevin Lehman after this.
Springtime means yard work and lots of it. So when it's time to replace the battery in your riding lawnmower or tractor, let O'Reilly Auto Parts help. The professional parts people will help you find just the right Superstart lawn and garden battery to make sure your mower starts over and over again. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Wrap me in bacon. Bacon crumbles on my head.
Poor bacon crumbles on his head.
Now that I think of it, I'll just go to Little Caesars.
I'll go to Little Caesars.
Get a bacon wrapped deep, deep dish pizza instead.
Get a bacon wrapped deep, deep dish pizza instead.
Get Little Caesars large, hot and ready bacon wrapped deep, deep dish pepperoni and bacon pizza wrapped in over 3.5 feet of bacon for just $12 at participating locations plus tax.
Pizza, pizza.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here,
or here,
or here. One of the nation's best savings rates. Opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Now at the Home Depot, save up to 35% off appliance special buys. Like the Samsung Stainless Steel Side-by-Side Refrigerator, just $9.98. You save $300. It's big enough to hold 25 bags of groceries. Unload those, and if that makes you thirsty, you'll really love the external ice maker and water dispenser. Today is the day for doing. Spring Black Friday savings now at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only while supplies last. See store for details. Valid through April 17th.
Back with you here on the Gym Class at 3:33 here on KGYM. Congratulations going out to Brad Marion. He picked up that $30 gift card courtesy of the good folks down in Iowa City at the Community Crisis Services and Food Bank. And we'll have one more of those to present to you coming up tomorrow here on the program. Get you updated a little bit later on as far as baseball is concerned here on opening day. But we're going to talk some college basketball, some hoops with you. Kevin Lehman set to join us right now as we get ready for night one of the Sweet 16 here this evening. And Kevin, we just talked to Dave Koken from Vegas. He says this is the best Sweet 16 field that we have had since going back to what? When 25 teams were invited, he said, to the NCAA tournament. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I certainly do, because you look at the field, everyone's from a Power 5 conference except Houston and the Americans trying to get there. And then Gonzaga's Gonzaga, so they're always going to be good coming out of that West Coast conference.
Let's look back to Iowa and end of its season, Kevin. What did you see in that game, and what did you think of the season?
Well, it was up and down season. A lot of it we talked all year about the defense, because we know that Iowa team could score. But, you know, you're looking at what they're coming back next year. I really like Cordell Pimsel, because I think he is that gives Iowa that edge. We're not necessarily talking about his stats, but I think he gives you the intangibles. And then Jack Nungy coming back, bigger, stronger. They've got some really – interesting routes they can go here. You know, I saw Patrick McCaffrey last night in the All-Star game. You've got the freshman guard coming in, Toussaint. So I think looking toward next year and what Iowa has to solve some of the problems, which I think would be point attack defense, on the ball defense. You know, they're going to have size. You know, they can score the basketball with all the people that they got coming back. But that Tennessee game was probably a kind of a microcosm of the season. The first half versus the second half, because we saw this Iowa team, they'll come back and win some big games, and then some other times they came out kind of flat. So Tennessee game was a little bit of all that happened during the season.
Well, in regards to next season, I can't disagree with what you said, Kevin, but there's one key component that's not going to be there, and that's Nick Bear.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's why I brought up Cordell Pimsel, because you know, Nick Bear was the leader in the locker room, the leader on the court, the leader on the practice court. And those guys are important. I really think Cordell Pimsel brings that for him. We saw a little bit of that the Iowa State game, where he's kind of the enforcer guy. And I think you're going to see a team rally around him, even though Nick Bear is going to be gone. But there's a lot of other people coming up. And, you know, this question's already come up. Is this going to be a 10-11-man rotation again next season for Fran McCaffrey? We've had that issue in past years, or is he going to narrow that rotation down? Because if you look at that talent, you know, we don't know if Tyler Cook's going to come back to Iowa or he's going to test the waters again in the NBA draft, but they've got a ton of talent coming back at the offensive end.
They do. And by the way, we'll be talking with Nicholas Bear coming up tomorrow on the program. And Spencer Lee. It's a big day tomorrow on the program.
A day of champions.
Nicholas Bear, guys, what a great story. I mean, he's a walk-on. Guy didn't take a three-point shot in high school, from virtual high school center to playing out on the wing, and it ends up being the Big Ten sixth man of the year. I think this is just a great story for anybody that grows up liking the Hawkeyes and want to play for the Hawkeyes.
Was this a successful year for the Iowa Hawkeyes? I say very much yes.
Well, 23 wins, 10-10 in the league. I think you got to measure most teams by what they did in their league, because that's schools that are supposed to be comparable to them. But, yeah, 23 wins, you get back in the tournament. what still boggles my mind, Scott, is it's been 20 years since Iowa's been in a Sweet 16. I just found that that's really hard to comprehend when I heard that number that's been that long. As you just think of an Iowa program with more success, even since Dr. Tom Davis left, then that they would have more success in the NCAA tournament. But that's been a long dry spell for not being a Sweet 16 for a very proud Hawkeye program.
Yesterday or the day before announced Cameron Lard is going to transfer. And that's probably not a huge surprise, Kevin, but what is? And Steve Prohm gets a contract extension. Good for him, as did Bill Fennelly today on the women's program. But I think there's question marks from the standpoint of who else might leave. Not necessarily transferring, but the Halliburtons and the Horton Tuckers and the Wigginsons testing the next level. What do you think?
Well, I can see him test the waters, Mark. I thought that has been a great rule because you learn from the NBA exactly what your coach has been telling you all year, where you need to improve on it to be successful in the NBA. I can't see those freshmen going, but I think the question is, what does Lindell Wigginson do? Injury early, came off the bench all season. I don't think he had what I would call a great year. I'm not hearing his name a lot on these mock drafts, so he's going to test the waters. What type of feedback does he get? I think that's the important call for Iowa State is if Lindell Wigginson comes back. So they're losing Nick Wiley-Babb. They're going to need some maturity in that backcourt to go along with Tyrese Halliburton and Horton Tucker.
Well, we said all year Iowa State could go to the Elite Eight and above or lose in that first round. And I thought it was a bad matchup with Ohio State. They had just no answer on the inside for Wesson in there and really controlled things on the interior. And how would we asked you the question with Iowa. How would you describe Iowa State's year? Good year? Could have been better year? What do you think?
Well, I think we look at the end and they won the Big 12 tournaments that you come away with a really good taste in your mouth. But that Ohio State loss, you know, you mentioned you thought it was going to be a bad matchup. Houston was my sleeper team. As soon as I saw that matchup against Iowa State, I picked Iowa State to advance and beat Houston. So they messed up my entire Midwest region, the Cyclones did. I think when you look at their year, based on what they did last year, struggled. You know, both Iowa and Iowa State below par last year, 23 wins. But it wasn't a great Big 12 from top to bottom as we've seen in the past. Kansas being a little bit down. Kansas State banged up. But I still think they're Iowa State. But and here's another thing, guys. When have you seen Iowa State lose that many games in Hilton?
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like the Hilton magic disappeared a bit this year because you always said, hey, they're going to win all their league games at home except maybe Kansas. That didn't happen this year. I think that's the biggest surprise. If there's any disappointment in what the Cyclones did, they're not protecting the home court at Hilton, considered one of the best home court arenas in the nation.
Kevin, we're going to introduce our Emers Hideaway poll question and have you be the first to answer, okay?
Sounds like a setup, Mark.
Which of the remaining Big Ten teams will most likely reach the Final Four? Michigan State, Purdue, or Michigan?
You know, I'm going to go with Michigan. Michigan State's a teaser there. That'd be the first thought. But with John Beilein, always seems to get those teams well playing well this time of year. So I'm going with the Wolverines again.
I don't need Michigan. I got Texas Tech going on the Final Four, Kevin.
I need Michigan.
I say we got some great matchups tonight, so we're gonna know a lot more when tonight ends.
Yes.
I like this Purdue Tennessee matchup. That's gonna be a good one.
I'll ask you. Big Ten has been, I think, based on the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament. I don't think there's any doubt that the Big Ten, if not the top conference this year, certainly them, ACC and the SEC. You can pretty much put a blanket over those three.
Yeah, the SEC has really become stronger in the last few years, and you're seeing the resurgence of Tennessee, Auburn making a great run. But the top of the Big Ten we knew was really good, and those teams have survived, Michigan State, Purdue. I was surprised by Maryland. I thought they would do better. I didn't like the way that game ended for Maryland. But when you look at ACC guys, you got to think, you know, the top of that league is just loaded with Duke, North Carolina. And it's very hard to pick against Duke to win this whole thing.
Even after what they did against UCF?
Well, I heard Mark comment about that offensive rebound, and when I looked at that, I thought it was just a bad block up by Central Florida. I didn't like the calls before it. Williamson, a possible charge, and then him being fouled by Tackle Fall, but I thought the rebound was just a poor blockout.
We had an email from Jim.
Yes.
One of our loyal listeners, and he wanted us to ask you about the end of the Duke-UCF game. Officials kind of swallowing the whistles there. Not only that game, but other games. And kind of just, and we talked about it in wrestling with Mark Ironside yesterday, that things are just called completely different as you get to the back of a basketball game or a wrestling match or whatever the case may be. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I thought the same thing I just mentioned. I thought if you saw those last three plays that Duke had that all went their way, Winston drive, defender goes down, the foul on Tackle Fall, and then the rebound put back. I don't think there's any other school in America that would get those three calls. But officials get caught up in it, guys. I had the Creighton-Memphis game. Memphis made a big run. He put a bunch of guards in. They're trapping Creighton on the floor. And all of a sudden, they're getting calls at both ends. And officials got caught up in that style of play. And I think you see that. I mean, officials are human. You see that throughout this tournament and throughout college basketball, that sometimes they get caught up in what's happening on that court. And I thought maybe that Duke, UCF, boy, would any other team have got those breaks that Duke got down the stretch?
You never know, but probably not. Interesting.
Probably not, guys. Probably not. Hey. The Hawks, if that was Iowa, would they got all three of those calls down the stretch?
Nope.
If that was Iowa playing against Central Florida, I don't think so.
If I remember right, you did an NIT game or two, right, Kevin?
I had three of them, Mark. I was a busy man. I had Creighton against Loyola, then over. I had Tim Miles' last game in Pinnacle Arena when they won against Butler to play with TCU. Then I came back over to Creighton and had them against Memphis and Penny Hardaway's Memphis team, which is a program to watch out for.
NIT changed some rules. I think they did last year as well, but they did this year in terms of the three-point line in the lane. Is that right? And what was the result?
Well, we had the FIBA three-point line. Didn't affect anybody. Creighton averaging almost 10 threes a game. I think they had 12 in the Loyola game, 11 or 12. The widened lane, there was never a three-second call. That was not a factor. But what I liked was the resetting of the foul. So we didn't have quarters, but at the 10-minute mark, the fouls reset to zero. And when you got the five-team fouls mark, you shot two free throws. There were no one-on-ones. The game went much faster because of it. We've seen everyone else in the world using this except college basketball. I think you're going to see that come in the future. But the issue is, how do we do with timeouts? Because if you do quarter system college basketball, you're going to eliminate some of the advertising. I think that's maybe the problem why we're not going to quarter system.
Yeah, could be. Hey, you were at the All-Star game last night over at Johnson Hall. You mentioned a little bit earlier, you had a chance to see some terrific talent. There was a great group of senior basketball players. Let's start with Patrick McCaffrey a little bit. The big question is, and Jeff Johnson wrote about it today in a great article in the Gazette, since Patrick's health problems a few years back, has not been able to put on weight on. Boy, that's a horrible problem to have for some of us out there. But they wanted to put 15 pounds on by next year to play. Do you think he'll be able to do it? Could he benefit from a redshirt year? Because there's going to be could be a bunch of people on that front line for the Iowa basketball team.
Well, I think it'd be to his advantage to be redshirted. But I tell you, I was impressed by his skill set. You know, his jump shot is starting up a little bit higher. I think he just needs more strength to raise up that jump shot. He's active. And I just envision him on the front of that 1-2-2 press with that wingspan. He's kind of like Aaron White, his ability to get into passing lanes, tip basketball. So all he needs is more muscle and strength on that frame. And I think he's a big-time talent for the Hawks. I know a lot of people kind of question is he going to be strong enough? But he mentioned in that article, I read it also, about surviving cancer and the thyroid issues, and it's hard for him to gain weight right now. But with the talent they have coming back, you throw Jack Nungy in there, C.J. Frederick in there, I think it's a good time to register Patrick McCaffrey and see what he looks like a year and a half from now.
What did you see in D.J. Carton, who's headed for Ohio State?
I saw the exact opposite of Patrick McCaffrey, a guy who's ready to play right now.
Mm.
Boy, him, he is physically impressive. And I had visions of Andre Woolridge, big, strong, power guard. He looks like a linebacker for the Iowa Hawkeyes. This guy is really strong. I'm not sure how well he shoots it, but physically, he can get to the basket. He can make plays. He can pass it. Just a physically imposing player.
I would agree. I think that's a great analogy with Andre Woolridge. A little bit more athletic, perhaps, than Andre, but boy, they have similar games.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought of when I first saw him play. And you know what else intrigued me was the Murray twins. Those guys have got some skills. Chris and Keegan Murray, they're still looking for a school, so I think they're kind of the sleepers in that All-Star game last night. Those guys got a great skill set.
We finally got to see Jake Hilmer on the same floor, D.J. Carton, last night for a little bit anyway, the two Mr. Basketballs. Jake's a lot of fun. He is a good basketball player.
I tell you, Brooks McCowan has got to be excited to have that guy in his basketball team next year at Upper Iowa because he can really play. And it, when they were doing the dunk contest at halftime, who did D.J. Carton grab to be his assist guy? None of it, Jake Hilmer. The guy only had 271 assists this senior season. That number alone just boggles my mind. 271 assists. Unbelievable. Jake Hilmer had just a fantastic year for Northland.
Yep, helped them to win the state championship there. Anybody else catch your eye last night in the ball game? All-star games are a little bit unusual, though. Sometimes there's not the presence of defense that you usually see in a regular season battle.
Well, you know, the old rule is don't keep the ball out. You may not get it back. But in both these teams, they really move the basketball back and forth. And I got a chance to see Noah Carter from Dubuque Senior that's going to go for Northern Iowa next year. And I like his physical strength. He's going to really help the Panthers. The guy who really surprised me was Keaton Mitchell out of Wapello. He's going to go to Truman State. Athletic kid that I hadn't seen much of. But that was another surprise, along with, as I mentioned, Chris and Keegan Murray were impressive. And also Logan Wolf. Going to try and be a two-sport star at Northern Iowa. There's a young man that's going to be – he's got a bright future also.
I agree. Ben Jacobson's got some talent going in there with Cole Henry out of Oskaloosa as well. UNI is going to get some help from some guys next year.
Well, I just look at their recruiting list. You know, they've got – if you throw in Trey Croft out this year at Austin 5, we're looking at 7 new bodies come in for the Panthers. So there's a lot of ways that Ben Jackson goes with this team, and they return everyone except Miles Winsing and Wyatt Lohaus. So a lot of talent coming back for the Panthers after their great run at the end.
And hopefully a well Austin Fife next year.
Yeah, that's a big question mark is, you know, can he help secure the middle for them, especially at the defensive end? And if Trey Croft can play some point guard, it'll move A.J. Green, that off-guard position, would, I think, make him even more dangerous as a scorer.
Yeah, I would agree. All right, Kevin, hey, appreciate it. We'll know our Final Four next week, and we look forward to talking with you about it.
Yeah, I'm fired up for it. I think we got a great lineup of games tonight and tomorrow night. Can't wait.
Going to be fun. Appreciate it, Kevin. Thanks.
All right, guys, have a good one.
Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us here on the Thursday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Yeah, tomorrow, I want you to tune in as well. We're going to talk with Iowa's Nicholas Bear, the lone senior on this team, and then Spencer Lee, the NCAA 125-pound wrestling champion for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
The tall and short of it, so to speak.
So to speak. I'll let you talk to Spencer about that. All right, well, let's introduce our poll question before we go to break one more time.
Yes, we can, and it's brought to you by Emo's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, behind Taco John's. Which of the remaining Big Ten teams will most likely reach the Final Four? Be Michigan, Purdue, or Michigan State.
Go ahead and vote, KGYMRadio.com. We'll take a break, come back, have a Bowling Night in America recap. A little bit of baseball scoreboard updates as well for you coming up after this.
Nobody beats our prices at Menards, so you can update your entire bathroom and save big money. Add storage and style with Magic Woods Elements Vanities. The 30-inch New Haven vanity has ample storage space in a matte white finish, just $269.99. Complete the look with a 31-inch cultured marble vanity top in a pewter finish with a white integrated wave bowl. It's just $139.99. Stop in and save through April 6th during Menards Construction Sale.
Save big money at Menards.
Prospect Meadows opens this May in the Corridor. This brand new baseball and softball complex will provide local kids with new opportunities, host teams from around the Midwest, and offer real economic impact locally. It also features the only special needs field in our area. Be part of Prospect Meadows. For a limited time only, they're offering custom inscribed baseballs to be featured on their Rotary Donor Wall at the main entrance. Reserve yours this week at prospectmeadows.com. Proceeds from the donor wall will help complete this first-class complex and give all children a place to play.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents the world's worst boss. The one who posts jobs on huge national job sites, looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Alexis, I've reviewed your resume online, and I think you're very professional, punctual, a fantastic listener, and I believe you'd be a great fit at our company.
Dave, we've talked about this. I will not be your employee. I'm your therapist.
Is this reverse psychology?
No, Dave.
Does that mean yes?
We're out of time, Dave.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the gym. Back with you at 3:55 here in the gym class at KGYM. Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Coons coming your way next. They are live from Mulligan's today, the KGYM road trip. They'll be there from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. They're on the air until 6, and then we've got basketball coming your way for you. They're going to cut in a couple of times during that 6 o'clock hour as well. Bowling Night in America recap. It is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest. In Cedar Rapids. Sorry, Mark.
Week 28 of 32 in the books. Good start for the Rusty Nails, winning the first two. Got clobbered the last game. So they lose that game and the series. A 2-2 split last night. Durline Scale has a 5-game lead over Union Station with 4 weeks remaining. Top bowlers on the lanes last night. Wayne Selkin and Joel Donner. Each with 290s.
They were battling each other last night.
Were they?
Yes, they were.
Nathan Walt right behind at 289. And Joel Donner claims high series at 805.
Nice. Yeah, Nathan had, we were bowling against Nathan. He had it going. He had first nine, first ball of the 10th, solid pocket hit on the second ball and left one.
Mm.
And that close. That close. So very good bowling. Then he went like first seven of the next game. So he had it going. Great night last night. Great night last night on the lanes. Over in 31 and 32, and nothing unusual happened. Usually we have something weird happen on 31 and 32, but did not have it last night. So
summer leagues forming at May City and open bowling available. Check out the website, maycitybowlcr.com, for more information, or just give them a call.
3620136. There you go. Quickly, baseball scoreboard. Lorenzo Cain with a robbing of a home run to preserve the win for the Brewers over the Cardinals on opening day, 5-4. Mets shut out the Nationals 2-0. Yankees beat the Orioles 7-2. In progress right now. The Rangers leading the Cubs as they go to the fourth 2-0. Phillies leading the Braves 3-1. No score. Toronto and Detroit. Dodgers a 1-0 lead. Houston 4-1 over Tampa. The A's leading the Angels 1-0. Twins and the Indians in the fourth already. No score. That's on 107.5 FM. Talk to you tomorrow.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops. Your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data all on America's